guess what? There's a brand new Australian pro wrestling website that's just launched. Pro Wrestling Down Under. If you head on over to pwdownunder.com, you'll be able to find Aussie wrestling news, upcoming live events around the country, as well as WWE and AEW news. So head on over to pwdownunder.com. Once again, that's pwdownunder.com, where you'll find Pro Wrestling Down Under.
Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit. And you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Welcome to Making Chicken Salad, the Wrestle Radio Australia, where we talk about everything that's going on around the world of wrestling. My name is Lachlan Albert, and as always, I am joined by the soul of WRA, Todd Eastman. Todd, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks. And of course, a member of Team Fudge, Jeff Setti. Jeff, how are you, bud?
Oh, I'm a proud member of Team Fudge. Thanks, Loch. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm doing great. Look, it's been a couple of big weeks in wrestling, as it always is. We've got some AEW news, we've had NXT Halloween Havoc, but first off, let's jump into what happened at PWA in Sydney over the weekend with PWA's biggest show of all time at the UNSW Roundhouse. Let's fucking go. Just overall thoughts before we get into it. What did you boys think of this show?
Jeffrey,
I had a really good time with this show. I had a really good time with the show. I thought, Todd, it completely delivered.
I had a really good time at this show.
I also had a good time at this show.
You sounded like those fucking, old fucking adverts on TV for like Wog Boys and stuff. And they just interviewed people. What do you think? It was really good.
I thought it was a fun show. And, you know, they really, really had a smart show as well. Didn't outstay its welcome. Provided enough light, shade, dark to provide a really, really nice one. So saying it again, I had a really good time at this show.
Todd, did you have a good time with this show?
Look, I enjoyed it. I'm a bit more of a critical mind, so there are certain things that I'm sure we'll cover them as they go on. Overall, though, the show was really, really good.
Yeah, and look, I'm coming at it as a bit of a PWA fanboy. I thought this show slapped. I thought it was really, really great fun. Again, there's obviously little things that I would change, but that's always going to be the case, right? So let's get into it with a match that, just from the names, you knew it was going to deliver. The Velocities versus MK Plus Ultra for both the PWA and ASCA Tag Team Championships. This one ended with the Velocities going over. I think my only criticism was that this match felt over very quickly, but I think that's just because I could watch these two tag teams all day, any day.
It was also an opener, so you couldn't have it go for like half an hour or 45. Do you know what I mean? It's an opener, yeah. So it's got to be that fucking...
It's got to be pacey.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to revisit this again. So, you know, this isn't the end of this. This will keep going.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
And keep going.
I'm going to a semi-controversial take here. I think MK Plus Ultra are a better opponent for Velocities than Aussie Open are.
I'm right there with you. I think Aussie Open are an incredible tag team.
Yes.
I think this is the definitive Velocities match.
I think they're both very good. I like the MK Plus Ultra boys. I wanted to see them actually retain, but, you know, no real complaints, but that's because I am an MK Plus Ultra fan. So, you know, no real
complaints. I'm a huge fan of those guys. I think that they often are a little bit overlooked because the Velocities are incredible.
Yeah.
Velocities are one of the best tag teams in the world. And MK Plus Ultra are so, so good and only ever get compared to the Velocities or to Aussie Open, you know, and that's not really fair because they are not only great in the ring, they really get what they're doing with these characters. The idea of having a tag team whose gimmick is that they're weebs is phenomenal. Like, their gear for this show, coming in as Dark Magician and Dark Magician Girl with Yu-Gi-Oh cards falling from the ceiling, it warms my little nerd heart. I think those guys are so good. And I will watch that match anytime it is on a show. Velocity's an MK Plus Ultra forever.
And also smart booking, because you notice, like, they don't pull out that 450, the shooting star DDT the time. It's always on those big shows. So that's a perfect spot for it.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And opens a huge show in a really impactful way.
Yeah, agreed.
After this, Concrete Davidson got married over the weekend. So in his honor, they held his favorite match of all time, the Gimmick Battle Royale. And it was a pretty wild adventure, which ended with Carter Deems getting the win.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. It was silly fun. It was exactly what it should have been. It got the amount of time it should have as well. And the right person won.
Absolutely. I think having Rhys Angel as the kind of runner-up was a good pick. It got to showcase two guys who feel like they're ready to take a big step. Carter Deems feels like he's been on that precipice for a while. I think it was a good way to have a fun match that ended with something relevant for the future.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to disagree with you guys, okay? Love Carter Deems. Love him. Shouldn't be an SMS. Should not be. That's not him. That's not his. I know that the whole character is that they changed it there, all that sort of stuff. But anytime he is in SMS, he's always going to be seen as a lesser than to Jordan, a follower to Jordan. He's never going to be on that same level because Jordan's personality, Jordan's gimmick is so strong.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't matter what they do. He's always going to be the distraction, the runner-in-era. Do you know what I mean? A runner-in-era is a word. Check it out. So that to me is what I didn't like. And also, like you said, the having Rhys Angel as the runner-up was a good choice. I didn't so much like that because that's heel and heel. And I'm not a big fan of that. If you could have had the spot that they did where it looked like Carter had been eliminated, have Jim Bro Jesse.
Yep.
Eliminate, have those two go at her and fucking Rhys go at it for a little bit and have her eliminate thing. Then Carter Deems comes in after that. I would have been fine with that. I would have thought that was a really good way to showcase her because she's over as hell.
She's awesome.
She is. She's great.
And like give a little shine to Rhys, but then also get the job done as having Carter Deems go over in the end. That's the only thing I would have changed about it.
But I'm going to defend Carter Deems in SMS because the end game is to turn Carter face. It's got to be. The end game has got to be a run against Jordan. And that for me is fine.
Yeah, but I have a problem with them doing that same storyline after they did. They've done it with Ricky. Like, how many people can join SMS and then come out of it and feud with Jordan?
Yeah, it's like a revolving door, but the other two that have been there forever are just going to stay there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't really, like, I understand what you're saying, and like wrestling-wise, it sort of makes sense.
Of course it does.
But it's just not, like, his character is strong enough where they could have done it a different way. They didn't need Jordan to, they could have just had him and Jordan butt heads, and then that's how he turns face out of that.
Mm.
Like, I want Ricky Satt. No, I wanted Ricky Satt. Oh, really? Come on then, motherfucker.
You know what I mean? I wonder if Ricky Satt's injury kind of derailed some of that storyline there.
Quite
probably. Yeah, I'm not too sure. But yeah, that's the only thing I would like. That, and really, that's me being like nitpicky. And yeah, that's only because I am a massive fan of Carter Deems. And I think, like, given the right space, the right opportunity, could be up in that top echelon of the PWA talent. And I just think at the moment, the way they've placed him doesn't really do him a hell of a service.
But look, if we don't nitpick, then whenever we talk about a PWA show, it's just us saying, this was really good, and then moving on, right? Yeah. Because, like, the shows are awesome. So you've got to get those nitpicks in if we're going to have a conversation about it.
And I, certainly...
I can get a harsh message from Robbie later on going, what was your problem?
I certainly understand your reluctance and your issue with some of those things, but I still think let's play it out and see where it goes.
Yeah.
Kind of what I'm saying.
All right. After that, we had a Soul of PWA championship match. This one, a long time in the making, as two former prefects went at it. Cherry Stevens defending the Soul of PWA title against Jimmy Townsend. First of all, before we go any further, this is a perfect opportunity to talk about Video Boy Jax, who works his butt off for PWA and makes some of the best video packages that are going around.
Agreed.
What a great package to lead into this match.
That's the bonus of having someone like Jax, but then also having that library to fall back on where you can go, I can just grab this, I can grab this. We can tell this story from day dot. And it'll be perfect to lead up to something that really, if you really look at it, had a month, a show's build to it.
Yep.
Because they had all that history. All they really needed to do was that little thing before the promo that they cut. And then, you know what I mean? Like, that's the bonus of having someone like Jax, is that half your storytelling is done before you even get in the ring, which is perfect.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I obviously think Cherry Stevens is a great pick to hold this Soul of PWA championship, and I think it was a good match. The question on my mind is, who do you have take that championship away from Cherry Stevens?
Oh, gosh.
You wait a while and see who pops up.
Yeah, I think keep it on her for a while. She's also clearly widely loved by the PWA fan base. So yeah. keep it on her for a while.
Look, I'm hoping we see Lucci take it off her, because I think that'd be white hot. But yeah, I think for a while she is a great champion. Moving on to six-man tag action with PPK and Robbie Eagles defeating SMS. Todd, you're pulling a face?
No faces. It's fine.
What did you think?
It was fine. It was a good match. Jordan and Robbie were awesome, as they always are. And I think they anchored the match, really, when you look at it. And it was fine for what it was. There was really not that much of a build that I could recall going into it. So for me, it was just you didn't know who the six man, like who the partner for PPK was going in. And so, yeah.
You can never be critical of like a Robbie Eagles performance or a Jordan performance. Like, they know what they're doing in the ring. They're going to put on a great show.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought this was fine. It was not amazing. It was not terrible. It was just fine. Robbie is so entertaining to watch. There was no way it was going to be a misfire.
Yeah.
And I think that the character work from PPK is just terrific fun. So yeah, it was fun.
This almost feels like the match that going forward, no one's going to have things happen out of this match, right? Like, that's one of the things PWA does so well, is so much of it feels important to the next show. And whereas this just felt like a match that they put on to be a good match.
Yeah, that I agree with. I think that, exactly, they're just matches to be good matches and sort of hang your head in there going, this was good. Look, we provide really good wrestling, and I don't think anyone's going to argue with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on, look, speaking of future implications, Shingo Takagi versus Jack Bonza had Shingo winning by DQ after an interference from Bad Luck Fale, with Bonza joining Bullet Club. Huge news.
Hey, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Definitely came out of left field. Didn't see it coming. It was a really, really good match. Like, as you would expect from Shingo Takagi. And like, I think whether or not the way they were going to go with having Bonza face the guy, like whoever they're going to, Bonza was probably the perfect pick to have in there against someone like Takagi. Whether, like, where they were going with Bonza afterwards to Bullet Club and all of that, that deal aside, he was still probably the best choice to have in there with him. So, because they could just have a brawl, because it's basically what it was. It was a wrestling brawl, and it was a really, really good match.
Big meaty slapping me.
Yeah, disappointing ending, but it was an ending that sort of protected everybody.
Yeah, I think the ending kind of soured it for me. They could have gotten there in another way. But saying all that, as you say, it was a brawl. It was entertaining. Hey, Bonza, good luck. I hope if you get some time over there in Japan, I'm sure you'll kill it, mate.
I think that, look, for me, I think you kind of need that ending if you're going to have Shingo Takagi versus a guy that's going to go over to Japan. You don't really want to have either of them lose, right? Mm-hmm. Shingo's probably come over not being able to lose at PWA, and you don't want Bonza right before he debuts for New Japan or whatever. The way he gets in the door is getting beat. Like, that doesn't really work either. So I obviously I would have liked to have seen the match go to a finish, but I think that's a way to do it. You know what I mean?
Here's a question going forward, though. What does that mean for the nations?
Oh, good question.
I think that the nations, and this is for me, right? Mm-hmm. The nations always feels like something that can pop in and out. Like, if you look at Jess Troy, how often is she representing the nations, right? The nations can come out with or without Jessica Troy, and it doesn't matter. And the nations can come out with or without Mick Moretti, and it doesn't matter.
But that being said, mate, none of those people had joined, like, SMS.
No, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? They haven't joined another faction. Basically, that's what he's done at the moment, is that he's just joined another faction in the Bullet Club.
I think that you can be a member of Bullet Club and still be a member of the Nations. If you look at the kind of people who are in Bullet Club, they're members of plenty of other factions or tag teams or whatever they're part of. And I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of Bullet Club matches in PWA, and I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of Nations matches in New Japan. So I don't think it matters. Mm. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see going forward. Interesting going forward, though. You never know.
Definitely. I often am wrong, I should say. So
that's true.
After that, we had a performance from the band Towns before moving into a match between Jessica Troy and Lia Bertolucci, which Jessica Troy won by submission. Now, Todd, we all know that you don't like Jessica Troy very much.
Don't you fucking start. I will kill a person around here.
All right. Tell us what you thought.
I loved it. I thought Towns went forever, though. That was a...
That was too
I, I actually thought they were doing it so they could set the cage up. I thought that was the idea of having Town. I'm like, oh, it's really smart. They have a band there. They can play while bloody they're setting the cage up. That wasn't the case at all. I just think that they went a little too long. And I think they knew
it. I agree, but that's because I'm not a super big Towns fan, I guess. I'm watching the show for the wrestling.
I agree, and I like the idea, like you, Todd, I like the idea of that. I think Lucci is so good at getting heat. He is so good at getting heat. I just think he is great at what he does. He has grown into that role so much, and he's got so much potential, and just so irritating, like so irritating.
Yeah.
But
like it was the perfect person to have with Jess.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
In that match. And I think that they're clearly big on Lucci. So just keep doing it, Lucci. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it, mate. It's great to watch.
It's working.
Yeah. It was a really good match. Especially like he keeps bringing the wheelchair back into it and all of this gimmick and just he gimmicks it up, but he also wrestles. Yeah. Which is a lot of the times you see guys will give up that gimmick to do the wrestles or they go the opposite way completely. Like you saw it here up in Brisbane, Lockie, when he had a match with Bobby and spent three quarters of that match
in the wheelchair.
in the wheelchair.
Like really selling that that was what was happening. He was in the wheelchair. I think Lucci's excellent. And I've been saying Lucci's excellent for years. I think I think he's just got dollar signs written all over him personally.
I can't keep talking about Jess because I'm going to get a restraining order put on me soon.
she's just the best.
She's a very good wrestler.
She shouldn't. And I say that in all this, in all like honesty, she shouldn't be in Australia anymore. No, she should be working overseas.
I agree. I am so shocked that either WWE or AEW haven't gone, right, let's do it. But saying that, you don't know a person's background. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know.
We don't know if she wants to.
Yeah.
Really. She could be just very happy. Yeah. Mm.
If she is, that works for us because it means we get her here in Australia.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not complaining.
No.
Absolutely. I get to see her against Delta at MCW 12, which I'll talk about a bit later. But yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the Eliminator, we had Team Kiedis in the form of Kiedis Kingsley, Matt Rogers, Hoffman, and Ben Braxton falling to Team Fudge with Back Pain, Billy Preston, and Big Fudge.
And Doug.
Doug, I apologize. Kind of an important part of that match was
Doug. He was too.
Big man Doug was there.
Look, Fudge is a delight. I love Kiedis as the person to have this feud against because Kiedis is so good at being the bastard straight man villain to a fun hero.
Yeah.
I think that he's a perfect matchup for Fudge here. I think Ugg was a great addition to the Fudge team because, you know, it gave a team that was a little bit silly some real heft.
Yeah.
Well, Backpain aren't silly.
They're not silly, but they're a little bit goofy.
No.
I think this was a perfectly placed match, and it was just, I just had a ball with it.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
The fact that Fudge was the only one eliminated from his team was hilarious as well. I'm big on Fudge. I think Fudge does some great work.
Yeah, I find it like, I know it just seems like I'm downing on everything. I'm not downing it. I'm just like, these are just things that I pick out, right? 2 or 3 months ago, Caveman Ugg was one of the most hated people in PWA. He turned their back on him. He was MCW, all of that sort of jazz. And that's sort of just been forgotten now. They just, that didn't ever happen. Now here he is, Caveman Ugg. Everyone loves him. Do you know what I mean? It's just for that. And last time I saw, Kingsley sort of a babyface, but not. It's hard. But Matt Rogers is a hardcore. He was a babyface.
Yeah.
It was just that for me was weird. But like you let it go because it's a Fudge match and Fudge seems to get away with everything he wants to get away with in the name of entertainment.
And I think that Fudge doing the hurricane gimmick of being a small man thinking he's a big man, it's just hilarious at work. It makes me laugh all the time.
It's a brilliant gimmick. Going over the top rope gets me every time.
Oh, yeah. And
him, like, he's one of the most, like, creatively funny people in Australian wrestling.
Yeah.
Just the whole, I talked to him about this when they were up for the tour. Like, one of my favorite things they did was when they did the him versus Concrete, it's the pick your poison match.
It was great.
Concrete picked him an opponent, then, like, Fudge came out with literal poison.
Poison, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that's something you it's obvious, but you never do it. It's like, yeah.
Or when him and Conco had the two-man rumble.
The two-man rumble was hilarious.
The two-man rumble where one person came in, then waited 30 seconds for the next person to get announced.
So good. And he had the, didn't they have the one-minute Iron Man match with Big Fudge as well? It's so much fun.
The great thing about Fudge is he provides an adequate amount of silliness. Sorry if that offends you, Fudge. I hope not. He provides an adequate amount of silliness that it's not just stupid shit. It's not just wee wee and bum bum and tit tit gags. It's actually funny. It's actually really clever and funny. And I think that the whole thing with Cherry has actually made him a little bit more of a serious, he's given him a serious edge. And I like that. I like that we're seeing a little bit of a more serious Fudge at the moment.
The thing is, though, like you say that, but then I like the fact that, not everyone on the card wants to be the champion or has the potential to be the champion. Like, I love Fudge, but like, you'll never see that. And he knows that and he's fine with it. And he has carved out a niche where that's his spot in the show. That's his, like, you want a bit of relief, get Fudge in there. Fudge will break up the card, especially cards when you've got guys like Takagi and Bonzo having a match. You've got, you know what I mean? There's some real serious wrestling going on in these shows. Just to break it up like that is really good.
Yeah. And this is like a perfect thing before the main event, right? Look, let's get into it. Let's talk about the main event. Ricky South, Mick Moretti in a cage to unify the PWA heavyweight championship with the interim championship. Rick South coming out on top. What a banger.
Oh, great match.
What a match.
And it was the result that needed to happen.
Yeah, really. I actually messaged Todd saying that. I said, Richard's got to win. Richard South cannot lose this because it just weakens everything he's been doing for the last 2 years. That was just great.
Where I'm at with this match is I don't know what to say about it other than this was great. You know, like what more can I, this match was excellent.
And this is a sign, it's got nothing to do with these two, but the crew at PWA, how quickly they can assemble a cage is amazing. And I got word that apparently JT had them at training drilling how quickly to put a cage up.
That's brilliant.
And so, paid off because that thing went off. That thing was up in the space of an ad. I think they did an ad for something and it was up. So that's 45 seconds or some shit. That's amazing.
They did a history video on an ad. So probably about 4 minutes, 5 minutes is all it took. And that's still pretty bloody quick.
Yeah.
For
someone who's been on shows where they've had cage matches and they've had to do it so they've done an intermission before the cage match because it took 30 to 45 minutes for them to put it up. I was so jealous. I was like, thank God they've worked this out. They've broke the code when it comes to doing it quickly.
I thought that the match itself was great. There was a little bit of psychology with using the cage and they played that really, really well. I like that it wasn't a cheap victory. It was a clean victory. I think that that's really important. And I think that Ricky beating the guy who has essentially been the face and the soul of PWA for the last, year and a half? So good. So good to see.
That bloody, the top row, the top cage tope.
Oh, beautiful.
That's
what a madman.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is those high spots also felt earned. Like it wasn't just, okay, and now we set up for Moretti flying over the top of the cage.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is what it builds to. And it builds and it builds and it gets there and then they do it and then they start again and they build up again.
And old man Todd will say that's the problem with a lot of indie wrestling nowadays is they don't do the build up.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll do the big spot without earning it.
Yeah, sure. Because they can.
Yeah.
The story of the match was extraordinary, which is essentially what you guys are saying. In that... nothing was done without merit. Nothing was done without pacing and nothing was done for no reason. You watch some wrestling and you go, yeah, but what is the reason you're doing this? That was never, even the top of the cage tope, it had a reason to be there. It was great. It was great. I thought it was a terrific match.
Oh, well, absolutely. Look, while we're talking.
I also just mention Friday was referee Nick's last night. At PWA, referee Nick, you'll know him. He's been a cornerstone of that company for a long, long time. He's taking an indefinite break. Referee Nick, if we never see you again, thank you for everything. You've been a great referee to watch. I've really personally enjoyed, I know you a little bit, getting to know you that little bit, spending some time with you, and also then watching you work is just fantastic. And thank you so much, mate.
Absolutely. And look, while we're talking Aussie wrestling, because first off, go watch PWA LFG. It's on Fight TV, fight.tv, search PWA, you can get the show. It's that
easy. I think it's like $15 too. So it's not like it's expensive.
No. And genuinely, you can go and watch whatever on WWE Network, or you can find AEW stuff. I think that watching this show, the wrestling is as good.
Yeah.
Honestly. And when you support these companies, this is what gets eyes on the Aussie product. It's what gets these Australian wrestlers to where they need to be. So not to preach too much, but if you're a fan of wrestling, go watch this show. At least go watch the main event. Yeah. And I think the opener as well. But the main event is undeniable. You should be watching. Now, sorry to get all preachy there, but now that we've gone through some of the stuff going on with Aussie wrestling, let's talk about what other stuff is coming up in your neck of the woods there, Jeff. So what shows have we got coming up in Melbourne?
Well, coming up in Melbourne, obviously, on a Friday at the Corner Hotel is Wrestle Rock. Tickets are still available. All that's really been announced is a 12-person match for the title. Crackerjack is still the champ. He's held that for a long time, considering for half of it, he couldn't even wrestle. Look, Wrestle Rock do some silly and entertaining things, but we know it's going to be a great show. Keep an eye on their socials for the full card. And, yeah, check that out if you're not doing anything on Friday night.
How many defences for Crackerjack? Crackerjack
himself, I think this is the third, but he's been involved in about 12, I think.
Is that old mate Gore defended for him?
Yes, he has.
Wasn't the thing where he had to defend a certain number of times, so he just did a battle royal with Gore?
Yep.
Brilliant.
And now I think this is the second half of that, where there's a 12-person match for the title. Half the competitors aren't going to be announced, so who knows who's going to wind up winning that. Well, half of them haven't been announced yet, so I think they're just going to roll it through and we'll have some fun. Maybe Drunk Uncle Beej will wind up with the belt. I don't know. Then on Saturday, PCW have a double header. They have their half moon show at 7:30. It's their all-ages show. Their full moon show at 9:30. It's an 18-plus show. A couple of matches have been announced for that. Some absolute bangers. Check out their socials and their website as well. Tickets for those. Both of those shows are still available. And, of course, on the 12th...
Just before we move on, I just want to say with PCW that they're a promotion that I think gets overlooked a fair bit. They have a really solid roster. I love the idea of doing an all-ages show and then an 18-plus show afterwards. I think that's a really cool idea. And I've never been disappointed with the PCW show. I've gone down and seen them a couple of times, and they put on great stuff.
Yeah, that's something like, speaking as a guy that manages guys up here, I would love any one of my guys in top tier to go down there to take on like a JJ Furno. Do you know what I mean? Like those guys, because they are some of the best guys in Australia that aren't getting used at the moment on a bigger stage.
Yeah. Well, I think Furno's is a case in point. Like, he's already wrestled for Renegades. He wrestles for Wrestle Rock. I think we'll see Furno a fair bit. And then the final show I'd like to highlight is the MCW 12 show. It's their 12th anniversary on the 26th of November. Two matches have been announced so far. Emin versus Mick Moretti for the Intercommonwealth Championship. Emin won the tournament to give him the right to challenge Moretti. And the 30-minute Iron Woman match, Delta versus Jess Troy, who's the current champ. There's two bangers right there. You don't need much more. The rest of the card will be announced. Check out their socials and website as well.
That's Delta and Jess. When we saw them previously, it just feels like the future of Australian women's wrestling.
Oh, it's a big match already.
To have that Iron Man match, oof. Look, I'm really excited for that. If you're also excited for that, make sure you're keeping up with us, because we'll tell you all about it. Make sure you subscribe to Wrestle Radio Australia. It's free. Do it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe to us. We'll be back very soon talking about what's going on in the world of international wrestling right after this.
Bro Day Pod. You know who else is that guy?
Oh.
You know what that guy does? That guy sits in the middle and uses both armrests.
Full spread.
That's that guy.
Okay.
That's that guy.
Right. If you take a plane, right? If you're in a plane, don't take a plane. If you're in a plane...
Yeah, don't take a plane.
Bro, and you're advice. In the middle and you use both... You are scum. You are scum. You don't get those armrests. Wait.
Come on. I'm with you. Wait, what?
No, the middle guy definitely gets those armrests.
Both of them?
Yes.
Full spread?
Yes. I don't know, man. No, okay, sorry. No, because I saw a meme about this. I retract everything I just said. I'm flopping right now.
Follow Bro Day No Plan B podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Making Chicken Salad. We've got a lot to talk about from overseas, starting off with Halloween Havoc, NXT's latest, what are they calling them now? Premier live events. This one, Halloween PLEs. PLEs, that's them. We got a big wheel. We got some caskets. We got some pre-recorded nonsense. It was all here, baby. So let's start with the opening match, a five-man title ladder match. For the NXT North American Championship with Oro Mensah, Carmelo Hayes, Nathan Fraser, and Von Wagner all failing to get the title, but Wes Lee winning by getting up the ladder. What did you think of the five-way?
I think three of those guys are really good. Two of them need a lot of work. I think Wes Lee, Carmelo, and Von Wagner are really good. Like Von Wagner, I think is going to be someone like with a bit of polish, with a bit of.
He's still got a little bit to go.
He's got a couple of footy seasons in him. Put it that way. Wesley is ready. Carmelo is ready. It's a pity that they're the size they are. Like if WWE had a legit cruiserweight division, like a legit 205, they shouldn't start it up again because it never fucking works.
No.
But if they did, those two would be top of the range for them.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't count them out just because of that. Like, I think they can still be good utility players. And I think that you know, eventually they will move up to the big show, as it were.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I want to fucking just give me a Ricochet division.
Yeah.
Guys like Ricochet, like those type of guys all in a fucking division, working their ass off, like WCW Cruiserweight division. To me, in my mind, the WCW Cruiserweight division is probably one of the most perfect Cruiserweight divisions they've ever been in American wrestling. Because you've got the junior heavyweights in Japan, so I'm not gonna try and besmirch their name by saying it. But the Cruiserweight division from WCW is probably the best example of that there has ever been. You've got the X division from TNA back in the day when it was, but that was never, there was no limits for that.
Anyone was in X division.
Yeah. That was good up to a certain point. Then it went to shit. But if you're talking like strictly like junior heavyweights, light heavyweights, cruiserweights, I believe that WCW, that was the gold standard that any promotion that wanted to do something like that should live up to. And if they were going to do it in WWE, Ricochet should be the guy that just is the perennial champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. I think that those three you mentioned are very, very good. I also agree that it would be great to have a 205 live, but no one watches it. So, you know, the point of it is moot. But I do think that those guys will get a fairer shot now that Trips is in charge over Vince.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm really happy to see Wes Lee win this one because it felt like when MSK no longer existed, like he was going to get lost in the shuffle, and he's a great wrestler. So having him in this spot, I think, is a really, really good choice.
Yeah. But Oro Mensah and Nathan Fraser, like Nathan Fraser has been having had a good series with Axiom, like a good series of matches. Yeah. Axiom is a kid. From NXT UK and the UK division. But those two had a really good series, but he was kind of, I don't want to say exposed, but he was kind of exposed in this match.
Yeah. He's yeah, he's fine. You know? And that's the thing. You're putting him up against guys who are really good.
Mm.
Like, Von Wagner is bizarrely good.
Yeah, mm. I was surprised at exactly how much I enjoyed the Von Wagner bits. Clearly a bigger guy, clearly there to have people bounce him around and bounce off him, and did a great job. Really
enjoyed. Yeah, the good thing, like, because of probably because of like where he's from, his family and all that, he gets it. He understands what his role is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Look, after that, we had Apollo Crews and Grayson Waller spin the wheel and make a deal, resulting in them having a casket match. Waller pushed Apollo Crews off the top rope and through the lid of the casket, but it was determined that the casket was obviously lidless. He wasn't shut in it. So some druids brought out a new casket and Apollo Crews won. I thought this was fine. I think that I like Apollo. I obviously love Grayson Waller. I think he's excellent. It seems like he's going up to do something with Bray Wyatt. So it's the right choice to have him lose, I guess, if that's what's going to happen. But yeah, I would like to see more for Waller rather than Mercy the Buzzard.
It feels to me at the moment that Waller is the guy that gets the guy ready for Bron Breakker in NXT. That's what he is. And I think I put on Twitter that the difference between a casket match and a coffin match is the budget. Yep. Because those coffins look cheap as AF.
Oh, yeah, they were garbage. You could tell they needed two of them, so they needed to split the budget in half.
Yeah, but the first one was that really shitty, small, like, I think fucking Darby Allin would have had a hard time fitting in those coffins. Whereas the second one was like, I think that they found a spare one from when Yoko and Undertaker had their match. And it's, oh shit, we'll use this one.
Yeah. It was the match for the Kamala Undertaker match that never went ahead at WrestleMania. That's what the casket was. Look, I thought it was fine. You know, it didn't so matter much who won. Waller hung there and looked good. So, you know, I'm fine with it. But yeah.
Waller's one of those guys. He's like a Teflon dude because he can talk so friggin' well. He can lose every match in perpetuity and talk his way back into another match.
Yeah,
absolutely. The dude's magic. He's electric. I'm really excited for him to eventually get to show that to the full WWE audience, because I think that's where it will shine its brightest, because the style of talking that he does, it kind of works for that hardcore NXT crowd. It works so much better with that regular everyday WWE crowd. I think they will absolutely eat it up the same way that they do for The Miz.
And that's why I hate the idea of him possibly being part of the Wyatt Six thing. Yeah. Absolutely hate it.
Yeah. I get it. I'm with you. Moving on from that, we had another spin the wheel, make the deal match. This one coming up, Wild Weapons for Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade, with Roxanne winning. We were speaking a little bit before the show about this match and talking about just how good we think Roxanne Perez is. I might throw that one to Jeff. What did you think of this match?
I thought this was good. Roxanne Perez, or she was Roxy in Ring of Honor, is very young. She's only, I think, about 20 or 21 years old. Such a bright future, such a big upside. The right person won. She's already on SmackDown and killing it there. She's just got such a huge future. I'm looking forward to seeing what she does next and who they feud her with. I think this was almost her farewell from NXT. And, you know, so it was kind of smart. It was the end of the feud. It's a way to close the feud and move her on to other things. Saying that, if she winds up in 5 years, she'll be a women's champ. You know,
the only thing I didn't like about that match was that spot where they jumped off the balcony together. Because it didn't look like they actually, either of them put a move on either. It just looks like they hugged each other and jumped.
Yeah, I agree.
That was when I think I was, because I was actually, I was actually at the gym on the bike at the time, and I'm watching it, and I out loud I just went, like, must have seemed really weird to someone who was on the treadmill next to me, but I was just like,
Yeah. Moving on from there, we had an ambulance match between Julius Creed and Damon Kemp. If Julius Creed had lost, then Brutus Creed would have had to leave NXT, but that did not happen. Creed coming out on top, Kemp shut in the ambulance. This was here. This was fine, I thought.
It was too long, much too long a match for what it was. They could have trimmed 5 minutes off that match and made it absolutely fantastic. But as it was too long and actually got quite boring for me personally.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I enjoyed it because I'm looking at what their futures are. And I think both of these guys have a really big upside. I think I said off air to you guys, the biggest worry I think in that match was probably Brutus going, holy shit, they've just realized that Julius is going to be a star.
Yeah.
And I could get left behind here. Because he looked like someone that could break out from that. It just the eye test for me. Looking at him, I looked at him going, that dude could be a star. That's the same as like I look at like Damon Kemp. And I think Damon Kemp can be a star as well. He's got that look. And he's got that, he can talk as well.
Yeah.
So, and the natural wrestling ability from being an amateur wrestler as well. He's got all the tools. And then we'll see what happens when his brother comes in, if he aligns up with his brother or if they just go completely separate. I've got a feeling they'll probably go completely separate.
Yeah.
But I probably, and this might be controversial, I don't know. I probably see more upside in Damon Kemp than I do Gable Steveson.
I'm with you. I agree.
I haven't seen enough of either of them to really comment, but, you know, we'll see.
Moving on, we had a match for the NXT Women's Championship with Alba Fire challenging Mandy Rose. Earlier in the show, there was some haunted house shenanigans, but eventually leading to a match where Mandy Rose got the win. I've been enjoying Mandy Rose's title reign here. I was not as much of a fan of the pre-taped stuff.
I wasn't a fan of any of it. The pre-taped stuff made the match weaker for its existence, and that is really not good. There were so many ways, like Kaylee Ray and Dana Brooke has shown how talented she's become, but Kaylee Ray could really have done some magic stuff in ring, and they just cheapened it. And yeah, for me, this brought the whole pay-per-view down.
Just quickly, did you mix up Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke? Yeah.
100% he did.
Good on you, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mandy Rose. I meant Mandy Rose.
Oh, they all look the same to him.
Oh, no. These women, let me tell you.
Not quite. Not quite. But yes, I did. Mandy Rose. Fuck you, that was funny. Mandy Rose has been a great girl. And you still haven't passed the audition. But Kay Ray is capable of so much. And it just, it cheapened it. It cheapened it.
Look, who would you have rather had in that match? Or would you rather the match just go differently?
I would have rather had the match in ring. And maybe one without necessarily having a stipulation. The whole show was stipulation heavy for me. And that, after a while, I get bored of that. If they'd have just had a one-on-one match, great. Bring it on. Let's just see it. They're both talented. They could both do great work. And you have Mandy going.
Well, really, like, was there, aside from doing that shit at the start, was there a stipulation in that match? There wasn't.
No, there wasn't.
It was a straight up match, but it just had all the shenanigans going into it.
Yeah. And that kind of disappointed me. Yes, you're right. But it was kind of you're right that it was just a one-on-one match.
Technically, just a one-on-one match.
It was technically, but it was just, it was like the Wyatt stuff from about 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
I felt the same way. And that match was the only singles match without a stipulation on the card.
Yeah.
Right? So the only straight-up one-on-one singles match also had the pre-tape Haunted House stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, that definitely something that can take away from what they're doing in ring.
I must admit, I did pop, and I don't ask me what the names of the girls are because I cannot remember them, to be perfectly honest with you, from the Toxic Attraction thing, where one of them was scared shitless in that house, and the other one was just like, I kind of like Halloween.
Yeah.
So she was just chilling out. That I didn't mind until she heard, like, Kaylee Ray's voice and then shit herself. I didn't mind that. Like, it is what it is. Like, with these things, you just got to...
Gigi Dolin and JC Jayne are doing great in their roles in Toxic Attraction. Had to throw in there that I could remember their names and you couldn't, Todd.
All three.
Yeah, it looked like you were looking them up on the screen, but that's fine.
All three of them are doing great work. Toxic Attraction are interesting and fun. And heck, they've given Mandy Rose a really, really good lease on life.
Look, I will give untold credit to Mandy Rose just for saying, look, I want to go back to NXT. I want to get better. Because she could have quite easily done what 1,000 other girls have done in WWE and just sit there, go to catering, get their 5-minute matches here, there, like on their house shows, loops or whatever it is, and basically like Carmella your way through your career. But she hasn't. She's gone, I want to go, I actually want to learn to, and she has. She's gotten to be a very decent wrestler now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we finish it off with the funniest match of the show, which is a triple threat match for the NXT Championship between Bron Breakker, Ilya Dragunov, and JD McDonagh, ending with Bron Breakker hitting a spear on Dragunov and getting the pin. What did you think, boys?
It was solid. But with those three workers, it's going to be... Breakker doesn't do much, but what he does really well. JD McDonagh or Jordan Devlin is a great wrestler to watch. And I mean, Ilya Dragunov is one of my favorite wrestlers in the world right now. That the series with Volta last year, it was just fantastic. Yes, he was Volta then, so I'm still going to call him Volta. And you know, he's able to, he could wrestle a set of cutlery and it would be watchable and amazing.
I would have probably had Breakker pin McDonagh, just so you could keep going on with Dragunov and Breakker.
Yeah.
Like, going forward. Yeah. Like, to me, that's sort of like, you kind of cut that avenue off now because you've had him, he pinned him. He's done what he had to do.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? Where he'd already beaten McDonagh, so if McDonagh had eaten another pin, it wouldn't have really mattered either way.
Yeah.
And Dragunov could come out saying, you didn't pin me, one-on-one match.
Yeah, but Dragunov could be moving up to the main roster. He's that good.
It wouldn't surprise me.
So he eats the pin on the way out.
But again, like, do you move them up now or do you wait for the Rumble?
Yeah, good point.
Right, because that's only, what, 3 months away?
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Two and change? Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. But look, I thought that, for me, this match kind of saved the show by being as good as it was. Obviously, like, I haven't been super down on any of the show. I just kind of thought it was there. This is the match that made me go, all right, I had a good time watching. You know?
I thought it was the first misfire of the Triple H era, personally.
The show as a whole?
Yeah, the show as a whole was the first misfire of the
Triple H. I said to you guys off camera, and, like, I'll say it here, NXT still has a long way to go before they can rebuild what they lost with that whole, like,
the rebrand,
Technicolor Burt fucking logo. They got a lot of stuff to do to fix that. It wasn't as easy a fix as, and it sounds weird, it wasn't as easy a fix as what the main roster one was. Because the main roster was, let's just do shit that makes sense and it'll work. Whereas they gutted NXT from a talent to a...
Yes, they did.
Ripped it apart. All right. Anyway, moving on a media conference call on Friday, Shawn Michaels confirmed that there's going to be a special event named NXT Deadline that's going to be on Saturday, December 10th. That's going to stream live on Peacock or the WWE Network or wherever you get your WWE content. Interestingly, that's the same date as Ring of Honor Final Battle, which will be happening earlier in the day. So that's interesting. That's something.
Yeah, it should not be confused with the NXT hairline, which is what Sean lost a long time ago.
Although
I don't know if you noticed that photo with him and Wesley. He is rocking that Frazier Crane look.
He acknowledges it. He's been rocking that for years, but just not, you know.
It looks, weirdly, it looks so much better than when he was just shaved it off for the Saudi show.
Yeah, but it just needs to be trimmed a little bit.
It's getting rugged. Yeah, it looks like there's something living in there.
Hang on. No, it's not in there. Great.
No, Jeff, yours looks clean enough, mate. I love the bald jokes coming from Todd Eastman. That's what we love to hear.
Yeah, that's great.
Because I've accepted my fate.
So have I.
And if you've noticed, I don't let anything grow. I just kill it all. If it's going, it's going. Like Jim Owen said, if you're going to go, you're going to go now and on my terms.
That's right. All right. It's okay. I'll just have the hair for both of you boys. Let's move on to AEW. We've got the fallout from the All Out Brawl Out. Hey, did you like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was alliteration.
That's it.
Assonance, actually.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm teaching year four English at the moment. We love that stuff. There's talks between CM Punk and AEW in regards to a contract buyout. The length of Punk's non-complete is a sticking point. Non-compete, if I can talk properly, is apparently a sticking point in the negotiations. It is not a surprise to me that AEW is looking to buy out the Punk contract. I think we all predicted this.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? The guy's clearly believes his own hype. He's great, but clearly needs someone to rein him in a little. And Ace Steel is not that person.
Speaking of, Ace Steel has officially been released from AEW.
What?
I know. Here comes our shocked reactions right now.
He is going to dental school, though.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
They can't all be winners, Jeff, okay? They can't all be fucking gold. Some of them have to miss. That's why the good ones stand out.
You get that shine extra polish if they're good. Do your titles? Is that what you're telling me? That's right, mate.
I've got to throw a few balls to throw a fucking strike. You know what I mean? Got to keep the bad guessing over here.
For me, Ace Steel will absolutely end up somewhere because if any show needs someone to pick up a contract from the middle of the ring at the start and then yell at a wrestler at the end, there's your guy.
Oh, yeah. Right?
This is ridiculous. The fact that it took that long for his release to come through is a shock to me.
What it is because he would have, and there's rumors going around that CM Punk had signed more than just a talent contract. So he was like, there's rumors going around that he was essentially an EVP as well. So from what I can ascertain from listening to different things, that takes you from being just a independent contractor to being a member of staff. And you can't just fire someone who is a member.
I was talking about Ace Steel.
Ace Steel's not an independent contractor either. He would have been hired on as an agent slash he would have been company. So it's the same thing. It's a whole corporate thing that a process they have to go through where they can't just go straight up, you're fired. They've got to go, we do an investigation, all due diligence. Yeah. This is what we found. Now you're fired.
Yeah, I guess. It just seemed obvious to me.
So the biggest thing that's weird for me is that there would be a sticking point about a non-compete, which is saying
as if he's going
to
wrestle again.
Yeah, saying to me that CM Punk thinks he's going to wrestle again somewhere or wants to wrestle again somewhere.
You're Triple H, you pick up Punk's contract, Todd.
You offer him something like a Brock Lesnar. Dates, but not full-time. You're a special attraction.
Lachlan, you're Triple H. Do you pick up Punk's contract?
No. If I'm Triple H, you pick up Punk's merch rights. That's what you aim for.
I think that you, like I said, you bring him in, you make him a special attraction, because I think what's proven, what sort of got proven a little bit there, is that seeing him all the time, the specialness wears off.
Yeah.
Evidence bears that everything he was on TV wise, they had a 5% bump in viewership. And the top five, I think it was the top five pay-per-views that AEW ever done were the only the ones that Punk were on. So it was obviously he moves the needle. So let's not have him there all the time, because that would eventually, if he just stayed there over the year or over 2 years, you would have seen a like precipitous drop, because people are just used to seeing someone. It's the whole thing, like I mentioned Jim Cornette before, his favorite saying is like, how can I miss you if you never go away?
Yeah.
He went away for 9 years. And so they missed him. And when he came back, it was great. But then every week he'd go, do you miss, like, you're not sick of me yet, are you? Blah, blah, blah. People were starting to get sick of him. Definitely backstage.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can limit him being backstage very a lot, you can bring him in on certain occasions, bring him in on the lead up to the Rumble, bring him in on the lead up to Mania. Why wouldn't you do that for the bump that you'll get? It would probably be worth it. It'll be worth it because if you sign him for a short term, like these short term contracts, like they do with Lesnar, they get their merch rights.
Yeah.
So that alone's worth it. Because I don't think he'd ever would like Punk's is, like as much as we say he's a bit of a dick. He's a smart dude.
Oh yeah.
And he would be making still would be making a mint off pro wrestling tees.
Yep.
So
does that 5% bump? Does that pay for the amount of negative press you get from having Punk after this schmutz?
But you wouldn't. It just wouldn't happen. It doesn't. Look, I mean, let's be real. How much negative press, like I say negative press, but I say negative feelings was there in AEW towards Cody Rhodes near the end there? It was like, ah, oh, fuck, Cody's doing this. Yeah. Oh, fuck, Cody's doing it. Went to WWE. Oh, my God. Do you know what I mean? I don't think that would happen at all.
I think that you're talking about wrestling where, you know, not personally, but there are still people that watch Benoit matches.
Yeah.
There's your answer. I can't personally watch his matches because of what he did. Others can, you know, that's up to people. But generally, there are people who will sit and still say that Kevin Sullivan's behind it all and it's a conspiracy theory and bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. But nonetheless, my point is that people have a short-term memory when it's something that they want. And people have a short-term memory in regards to Punk.
And especially over the last 3 years, one thing we've learned is wrestling companies will book anyone.
Yep.
They will. Yeah. If they think they can make a dime, they'll book them. And but so really, CM Punk, if he wants to wrestle, he'll wrestle.
Let's look at this thing right there. He was in his dressing room and they came into his dressing room. He didn't go and search them out. He didn't start the fight with them. They came to him. So really what, aside from like standing up and sort of defending himself, and I'd like, don't fight, 100%, do not fight. And if he had a problem, maybe it's been something he'd been addressed backstage before and it just wasn't getting listened to. And that's why he went and did it the way he did it. Still a dick move. 100% dick move.
Massive dick move.
Bucks were in the wrong because they confronted him and it became physical.
Yes, but they are the EVPs of the organization.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't go and confront people physically if you're an EVP.
No, you don't. But
especially when you've got the fucking the head of legal in that locker room at the same time.
But
Mega, I can't remember what her name is. Mega was in the locker room with CM Punk when they came in and started a fight. But that's not on him. As much of a dick as he is, and 100% complete dickhead, shouldn't have said the shit he said. Completely unprofessional. More unprofessional when you go to violence when you're not making money off it.
Didn't Punk throw the first punch?
My point was,
I don't think so.
Sorry, you go, Jeff.
I was going to say, my point was going to be, no one knows exactly what went on in that room. So how much they went there to be aggressive and how much they went there to sort of sit him down and go, mate, we need to sort this out. No one is ever going to know. No one is ever going to know what actually happened in that room. But for the harmony of the company, they clearly need him out.
Yeah. Yeah. But then what does this mean now? Because they're buying out Punk's contract and Punk was involved in it. What happens with the Bucks and Kenny?
Nothing.
Because surely they are as equally as culpable as what Punk was.
But the common denominator there is Punk was trying to get rid of, allegedly trying to get rid of Colt Cabana. Punk has, this isn't Punk's first rodeo of behaving this way.
No.
Whereas most people say the Young Bucks are quite amenable and nice people. And really? Okay, sorry. And Kenny Omega apparently is quite a nice guy. Is there any hand signals there, Todd? But...
No, just keep burying me.
Yeah, I will.
There's a reason why.
No.
Fucking jerk.
Who? Me?
You. You. You're lucky you're in Melbourne. There'd be a locker room conversation going on right now.
All right, where was I?
You know what? Since we're not doing video, we can just accuse Todd of making whatever actions we want. Yeah. Hey. Nice Todd, jerk off motion, Todd. Thanks, mate.
Todd, why are you dancing naked on this?
Because I fucking control the edit.
Yeah, you do.
Lachlan, pull your pants up.
No, I want to show it off.
Really?
Where was I? Sorry about that, Todd. Anyway, but yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, we're never really. You're just going to.
We're not going to find out what happened.
Yeah, we're not. You'll probably cut that whole bit out, so that's fine. And I'm sorry.
I probably won't because I'm too lazy to do it. To be honest with you, but I'm interested to see what happens. Like this could be a very good way or an easy way for Tony to go. All right, your punishment is I'm stripping you of your EVP titles.
Yeah,
yeah.
You guys are just contracted talent now.
I kind of think that wouldn't be a mistake in some ways.
No, me either.
I kind of think that,
considering
know,
now that they've moved, it looks like Tony has moved Chris Jericho and John Moxley into those sort of roles by proxy now, like Jericho, because Jericho just signed another, we forgot to put it in the news, but Jericho signed not an extension, it's a new contract because there's added responsibilities into that contract.
Yeah, and apparently many in WWE thought he'd be going back there. That's how people are said to be at AEW at the moment.
Mm. Well, I mean, Jericho, like, I think I mentioned it in that press, when we watched that press conference, the media scrum. Like, Jericho was the only one who handled that like a professional.
Mm.
Jericho was the only one who handled that like a company guy. And if you're Tony Khan, why wouldn't you go, shit, I'm going to trust this guy who was one of the only ones on this thing who didn't bury me to my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The issue with that is then we've got to see Jericho more often.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But yeah. There we go.
Look, anyway, moving on. The main event of AEW Dynamite finished early. Hangman Page diagnosed with a concussion after the doctors stopped the match. He took a lariat from Moxley. Referee immediately called for assistance, called off the match. Great call from the ref, right?
Excellent call from the ref, and kudos to Mox for like actually stepping away and making sure that Hangman was okay. Hangman is okay. He tweeted out the next day that he like had McDonald's for dinner and he was just not loopy. I hope he continues to be okay. He did land quite awkwardly in that lariat. And I hope that he takes time and doesn't rush back and kind of be gung-ho about it. I think concussions are taken seriously enough now that he won't be.
Well, he's in the AEW concussion protocol now.
Yeah.
So he'll have to pass certain tests before he can.
Yeah. Which is just fantastic. I think the way Excalibur and the commentators filled time was quite good. Even Mox grabbing the mic and doing a bit of a promo was quite good. I think generally it was handled as well as it could be. It's just a shame we didn't get to see the end of the match.
Yeah. I think it might have also not ruined, but it might have also made that end of that show very weird, with MJF just coming out and doing what he did and just going, fine, I'll take you on one-on-one. I don't want any excuses. I'm like, that seems very out of character for MJF.
Yeah, these people know I'm a man. I'm going to cash that chip in, but when I do, I want you at 110%. I want to make sure when I beat you clean in the center of the ring, there's no doubt. I'm cashing in my chip at full gear. For the first time in my life, I'm going to earn it. That doesn't fit with MJF's character.
It's very babyfacey.
I think that's where they're going with it. I think they're turning him face.
I think that would be... AEW's made some mistakes. I think that would be one of the biggest ones they've made ever, if they do.
I would turn William Regal.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
That's what I would do. I would turn William Regal and Moxley.
Yep.
So MJF versus Moxley is confirmed for Full Gear, or at least MJF challenging for the title at Full Gear is confirmed, with Moxley having a title match against Penta on the upcoming episode of Dynamite. So, you know, everyone put your bets on that one. Look, I love Penta. I'm glad he's getting a moment to shine in that spotlight, because I think that he is deserving of being in the heavyweight title picture. He is a really good performer who gets the crowd on side. I think that there's a lot of big names in AEW who are in front of him in line at the moment, but I'm glad to see that he is not nothing in that singles division.
Oops, I'm sorry, everyone. I am fine.
What did you eat?
I am fine with Penta and Moxley. The results at any time is a foregone conclusion, but I still think it's going to be an entertaining brawl, and they're both going to have put on with some fantastic moves. And Penta and Rey are one of my favorites tag teams to watch. And as individual wrestlers, they're both excellent.
It would not surprise me if this gets turned into a hardcore match before it happens. Penta has taken some sick hardcore stuff in the past.
Yeah.
Even very recently at AAA, taking the mask off Volano 4 in a disgusting match, quite frankly. But, you know, he's up for that stuff. And we know Mox loves that stuff. So the question is whether they want to have it on the TV show, because
on a fucking Wednesday,
as Todd likes to say, how the network would respond to that. But, you know, we'll see.
I think it's also worth mentioning that this soon after the concussion, they might just want to go a little bit easier.
I
don't see what the point of doing that would be. It's like stipulations for stipulation's sake. And I hate that. Like, I could almost excuse Halloween Havoc because it was a PLE. It was a special. Just doing it, like I say, on a fucking Wednesday, no real build, no real, like, ongoing feud between the two, where this has to be settled, where we're throwing out the rules. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think it makes any sense.
That's just me predicting, but I don't know. I feel it in my bones, you know? Anyway,
are you, a 70-year-old?
Yeah,
feeling in my bones.
Feeling me waters.
I shouldn't be feeling my bones while we're on air. Let's move on to Ring of Honor. Final battle has been announced. The date, the location, the special start time, December's pay-per-view. It'll be held in the afternoon in Arlington in Texas. Tony Khan also hinted to a TV deal being announced on that show as well. As we mentioned before, the NXT show will be that evening, and Final Battle seems to have a lot of the hype built around TV champion Samoa Joe and Ring of Honor champion Chris Jericho. What are we feeling about Final Battle, Todd?
I hope they don't do Joe and Jericho. Because it's too soon to like put those two titles together. They shouldn't do it anyway, but well, they probably should because there's 1,000 titles. But yeah, it's too soon to do it. But if you're going to do it, Joe 100% should go over.
Yep.
Absolutely. I'm hoping they don't. But as long
Let's put it this way. What matches would you have? Like, who would you have Jericho work in Final Battle, which traditionally for ROH was their big, like one of their tentpole events for the year, the Final Battle?
Look, not to spoil something I'll talk about later, but Dalton Castle.
Yeah.
And that's just been wasted.
Or would you somehow get Bryan Danielson back into it and have Bryan Danielson win the belt off him at Final Battle?
I would love to see that.
I don't think it'll ever happen, but that's...
It won't happen.
I think it's probably going to be another former champion going by the angle that they're trying to get up.
Bandido?
Bandido, Danielson.
They've already worked. Bandido and Jericho already worked.
Did they?
Yeah, they had their match. That's why he nearly got hired, or he was being in.
Oh yeah, that was with Jericho.
See, that's how memorable this shit is after a while.
Christopher Daniels. And I'm being quite serious. Christopher Daniels.
But would you in 2022 would you say Chris Jericho versus Christopher Daniels is a main event match for a pay-per-view that you would have that you spend $50 on?
Fuck no, but I'm not sure that Jericho's a main event wrestler anymore.
Like a year ago, I would have said that. He has done as much shit as I've given him over that course with being out of shape and like he's lost a step. A hell of an improvement. Done a hell of a lot of work to himself in ring. I think the weight as well. The fact that he's lost that weight and got himself into shape has helped his in ring immeasurably. So
is it a Claudio Castagnoli rematch?
Yeah, probably.
I've got a bad feeling it's going to be Samoa Joe. And then just me thinking about this off the top of my head, I would have Bryan Danielson against Red Death in for the pure title, and have Danielson win the pure title.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that match.
Let's let Todd book it. Look, let's wrap this up. We'll go to because we can, you know, fantasy book Ring of Honor all day, but let's talk about what we liked and what we didn't like this past fortnight. Let's start with Chicken Shit. Get it out. Todd, Chicken Shit.
Why always me first?
Because I like seeing you squirm.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Take it if you want.
No, move on, because I'll come back. Let me think about stuff.
All right. I know that we were just talking about this, but God, I didn't need to see Chris Jericho beat Dalton Castle in his, you know, really AEW debut match. Why? Like, I know we're building up Jericho as Ring of Honor World Champion, which I didn't want to see in the first place. But now let's take Dalton, who I actually like, and put him in a really awkward, it was fine. Right? Because Dalton Castle can work and Chris Jericho can hold it together. So it was fine. But that shouldn't be what happens when there's a Ring of Honor match Ring of Honor heavyweight championship match involving Dalton Castle on my TV. It shouldn't be fine.
No, and, it shouldn't be exceptional.
Yeah. And so I'm at the point where I get so excited over watching Aussie stuff and watching some of these big matches and, you know, the quality of matches that we're getting every week, that when wrestling is just fine, and then I forget about it. I had to look up that it happened, right? And I shouldn't have to do that for one of the biggest titles in the world. Jeff, you got something to complain about?
Yeah, rather predictably, I guess it's the Mandy Rose Alba Fire bullshit. And that's that. That's the only way I can put it. The whole Wyatt family compound garbage, which is essentially what it was. It was just unnecessary, especially from two people that are that talented. Let them go in the ring and let them do their thing. Give them 18 minutes. And it was doubly disappointing coming so soon after the great Roxanne Perez versus the great Roxanne Perez versus Cora Jade match, which was such fun, to then have that just left a sour taste in my mouth, and as I said, brought the whole show down. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Todd, you got a whinge?
Yes, I do, because I just quickly looked up what I, because I knew there was something I was
it wouldn't take long for Todd to find something to whinge about.
No, they like we mentioned before off air, I think probably didn't mention here, that Rampage is a slog to watch. It's starting to get, for a show that only goes for an hour,
Yep. It
almost feels like a 3-hour Raw sometimes. Acclaimed had a match against the Varsity Athletes, which I told you is so stupid that you've already got a team called Varsity Blondes. Why the fuck would you have another team called the Varsity Athletes? That's an aside. The whole thing of this fucking match was you put your titles up on the line against the fact that I trademarked the phrase scissor me for reuse in wrestling, right? Acclaimed won, as they did, and they still didn't get the thing. Like, at the end of the match, like, thing was still going on that he still owns the trademark. You put it up. Go through with your fucking stipulations when you do it. This isn't something that...
If you're not going to do it, don't have the stipulation.
Exactly. That's something that just, like, you dragged it on for no fucking reason. And but those two guys, the Varsity Athletes, shouldn't be anywhere near a tag title match.
Yeah, and 100%.
Like, using that as a stipulation to get to it is dumb. It's just dumb. And they're not paying off the stipulation. They are a bump in the road team.
Yeah.
They are a stop mark team. Don't keep it going. That is probably, yeah. Because I won't say my other one because I'll cop flack over it, so I won't say it at all. That's my other, that's it.
Right, in that case, Jeff, have you got something exciting, something that you liked, a chicken salad?
Well, I like the fact that in the next couple of weeks I'll be able to announce WrestleBrania's Perth dates, as well as the return at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival of WrestleBrania to the Catfish. But we'll be talking about that a little bit later on down the road.
Hello.
That's one thing I just wanted to mention. The other thing, thanks for that look, Todd. The other thing I wanted to mention.
Todd, put your clothes back on.
That's all right. No, it's okay. You'll get the invoice. That's fine.
I really like, I actually really like the WWE Network, and particularly, this was released quite quietly. There was a table for three with Jerry Lawler, Bret Hart, and Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah, I watched this the other day.
Yeah, talking about the whole Isaac Yankum DDS stuff. And it was so much fun to listen to the three of them talk about the angle, and particularly Bret Hart talk about how Owen was saying, shut Lawler up, he's going too far with mum and dad. Shut Lawler up, he's going too far with mum and dad. Bret Hart goes home one day and hears Stu and Helen laughing so loudly. And what were they laughing at? They were laughing at Jerry Lawler insulting them on television. And I just think that kind of, that little bit of pulling the curtain back, as they say, and watching that kind of stuff, I really enjoy it. And you forget how much lovely content is on the WWE Network.
Yeah, they also, they're like, I don't even know if you can watch it in Australia yet. I've been using nefarious means to watch it. Is the Tales from the Territory series that's on Vice. It's really good. There's a double one on Memphis. They just did AWA, where you found out, like, I don't know if you would, like, and people will watch this later on, I guess. I don't think anyone on that table liked Ken Patera.
No.
I don't think Ken Patera likes Ken Patera.
No. There was that great line Just quickly for the listeners, Ken Patera told the story about a young boy throwing a rock through a McDonald's window and Alundra Blaze, producer Michelle.
Just goes, because there's no video here, there were air quotes on every one of those words.
And I'm just trying to make sure our lawyers keep us safe. But there was that, and then Alundra Blaze looked at him and goes, "So a young boy threw a 100-kilo rock through the McDonald's window." Yeah, right, Ken.
I still like the other line too. He's talking about he was giving Vern shit. And he said something like that, and like he goes, "Well, maybe you booked it." And like Greg just goes, "I wouldn't have booked you." Like straight out just went, "I wouldn't have booked you."
Yeah. But the second episode was also great. It focused on the Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler rivalry, which it was the trendsetter for celebrity rivalries that became so prevalent in the years following. And I thought it was just a delightful episode. Kaufman's such an interesting character.
Yes, yes. So that I guess that would be one of my chicken shits. Yeah. Chicken salads for the
I agree. It's thing. Very good.
That and on NJPW World now, Royal Quest is up, so you can watch FTR and Aussie Open have an absolute cracker.
Gotta go.
Of a match. Yeah. That was a really, really good match. That, and I'll also, like, I know everyone's talking about it, but I'm gonna talk about it as well. The whole Bray Wyatt thing, the fact that they're keeping it going with the QR codes, they're keeping this stuff like, I think they introduced introduced whoever Howdy is on SmackDown. It was a real quick one where all you saw was like the mask, him just go Howdy at the end. But during that was a QR code. And if you caught the QR code and you went to the WWE site that it was a psychiatric evaluation on Bray Wyatt. It was like a form where if you look in our chat that I actually screenshot it and sent it to you guys to have a look at. And just the level of stuff that they're still going through to get this gimmick over is just, do you know what I mean? It's just, I love the fact that they're still doing it. They didn't just go, well, this is the way we're going to debut him and then we're just going to leave it at that and just let, like, he can just go to the funhouse and do his funhouse stuff like they did in previous incarnations of Bray. They're still, like, having you chase these hints, having you chase these clues to what is going on with this whole gimmick, with this whole character. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see what they do going forward with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, for me this fortnight, this is going to be the most Lachlan chicken salad ever. First of all, I want to put over a thread on Twitter that I thought was absolutely awesome. I've retweeted it. It was originally by @BAHUFMW. It is a history of people diving off the balcony of Corcoran Hall. All 17 dives from the balcony, all the details on them. Really, really cool to go back and look at that really unique part of deathmatch history. And the reason that I'm bringing up such an obscure thing there is because we already talked a bit about kind of the main thing that I want to mention, which is Ricky South and McMurray in the cage. Just an absolutely great match. It had the psychology and the storytelling and the physicality and using the cage. And it's Aussie wrestling is amazing. It's so good.
I also want to put over too, because we talked about that being so very good, but that opening tag match, Velocities and MK plus Ultra, Like I said before, I think they are a better matchup than what Velocities and Aussie Open are, just because I think there's more places they can go in their matches, where it's hard with Aussie Open because they're so fucking big next to Velocities. Whereas these guys are sort of like, they're sort of the same sort of size. They seem like, and the matches they've already had have been fucking great.
Not only that, this match built on the matches they already had. Like,
exactly.
If you're paying attention, you notice the things like Velocities have a sequence they do where they do a double leapfrog into a drop toe hold, and MK Plus Ultra knew that was coming.
I've seen it.
MK Plus Ultra knew that was coming, so managed to catch the second one out of the air and transition it into their own version of the sequence. It was just brilliant. And if you were watching these two teams for the first time, you would have been blown away by what they can do. And if you're watching them for the 100th time, then you're blown away by how they're able to weave all of that past experience into a match. Yeah, can't say enough good things. And look, if you can't say enough good things, then I encourage you go over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Say lots of good things there, because that helps us get into lots of ears. And hey, if you're over on Apple Podcasts, make sure you subscribe. If you're not on Apple Podcasts, if you're on Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, if you're on, you know, Podcast Addict, whatever you're on, search for Wrestle Radio Australia, hit subscribe, follow what we do. Really helps. If you want to follow us on social media, at WrestleRadio AU on both Twitter and Instagram, WrestleRadio Australia on Facebook. You can also go to Redbubble, search for WrestleRadio Australia and find some merch there. Proceeds won't go to our filthy little pockets. It'll go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, which are two amazing charities here in Australia that support mental health, specifically men's mental health, which is so, so important. So make sure you talk to your mates as well. Individual socials, you can follow me at Lachlan Albert. You can follow Todd at Beast Eastman. You can follow Jeff at Jeff underscore Seti. You can also follow WrestleBrainia at Wrestle underscore Brainia. Is that right, Jeff?
On Twitter, I think it is, yes, or it might be Dash. Just looking it up while you're continuing.
Because you should be definitely following that. It is Wrestle underscore Brainia on Twitter. Because there's going to be those Perth show announcements, those Melbourne show announcements. Make sure you're following so that you don't miss out when it comes to your neck of the woods. Because as we saw when they had the PAX show, it is an absolute blast to watch, and I can't wait till it's up here. Anything else we need to mention, boys?
Just again, want to mention referee Nick. Thank you for everything, Nick. You've been an absolute bloody legend, and I hope that you you take the break and get yourself well.
Awesome.
Yeah. And also for me, shilling a little bit. Wide Bay Pro, the last show we had up, Brolga Brawl, will be on YouTube this week. And that was the main event with Solomon Blackwell, Bobby Bishop, and Adam Brooks. So it was a good throw.
And that was a ripper. Everything other than the ring announcer on that show is brilliant.
Commentator shilling. Shit too.
Oh, commentator.
I mean, I never shill anything.
You never. By the way, at Wrestle underscore Brainy.
Yeah, fucking hell.
All right, well, before we get too off the rails, for Todd Eastman and Jeff Seti, I've been Lachlan Albert. Till next time, have a good one.